In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You don't want to fall into the habit of making too little of the devil. It's very easy to do that. We all do it all the time. We think that he's really not that much of a threat. We can just mess around with him, and it's no big deal. We can beat him. Well, truth is, you can't. You cannot beat the devil. So I want to remind you of two examples in the Scriptures that show this. You don't want to mess around with him. You don't want to make too little of him. And the first one is kind of a curious story. It's the story of King Saul and the Witch of Endor. Sounds like some book you would find at a library, right? King Saul and the Witch of Endor. Well, this one's not a fairy tale, sadly. This is a true, very sad, true story about King Saul. King Saul was the first king, if you remember. Before King Saul, they had judges that were ruling over them. But then they didn't like that. And they said, God, we want a king. And God said, okay, fine. And so Samuel's going to be important to this story. Samuel was a prophet. He's the big-time prophet in the Old Testament. And God tells Samuel to go anoint Saul to be king over Israel. And at first, King Saul did some good things. And one of the good things King Saul did was he expelled out of Israel all the witchcraft, all of it, all the sorcerers, the magicians, the mediums, all of these that were working, you know, in the devil's work. He got rid of all of them, and that was a really good thing. So they were all expelled out of the land. They weren't allowed in Israel anymore. Well, that lasted for a long time, but if you remember, King Saul, he started to take a turn for the worse. He disobeyed God, and God told him that he was going to take the kingdom away from Saul and give it to David. Well, that led to King Saul trying to kill David all these times, chasing him around like chicken with his head cut off, trying to catch David. He couldn't catch him. Several times, David could have killed Saul, but he let him live. At any rate, it all comes to a head at this one battle. Saul is really, he's trying to hang on, but he's losing it. And the Philistines gather up. They're going to attack. They're sensing Saul's weakness. They're going to attack. So they go all the way north to this little place of Shunem, and it's on the north side of this valley of Jezreel. And so they're on the north side lined up, and here Saul has to meet them with his army. So they're on the south side, and there's this big valley in between. Well, the stage is set, okay, if you see what I mean. And Saul takes a look at the Philistine army on the other side, and he says, we're dead. We are doomed. The Philistines were going to mop up in this battle. So Saul kind of panics. And to his credit, he tries to get a word from God. He goes to the high priest, but no word from God. Goes to the prophets, no word from God. So Saul is really desperate. And he tells his men, go and find someone who can talk to the dead. Well, remember, I told you he had expelled all these people from Israel. None of them were around. So his men search around. They find one in Endor, a lady who can summon the dead. Well, the interesting thing is, if you think about the geography, this was in Endor, which was actually north of the Philistines. So Saul, if you read 1 Samuel 28, Saul has to disguise himself and kind of march all the way around the Philistines to go up to see this witch in this little town of Endor. And he goes and sees her, and he says, I want you to summon somebody from the dead for me. And she says, no way, I'm never going to do that because, you know, King Saul, he'll kill me. Well, of course, he is King Saul. He reassures her, no, I want you to do this. And he tells her he wants her to summon Samuel. Samuel had died. So here Samuel comes up, and when he does, this medium, she screams. She's scared to death because, of course, she doesn't really summon the dead. But hear what has happened. She summoned the devil. And God, whether it's God allowing Samuel to appear or whether there's something, the devil appearing as Samuel or one of his demons, we honestly do not know. But this is very much playing around with the work of the devil. And so Samuel, or someone appearing as Samuel, does come up and tell Saul, tomorrow, you and your sons will all die. See, this is what happens when you fool around with the devil. Saul thought he could just summon up Samuel, you know, and ask him a few questions, get some advice on how to handle this battle. But you cannot mess around with the devil. Now, you know the other example a lot better. Genesis 3, we heard it this morning, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were naive too, and they thought, well, we'll just have a little conversation with the serpent, right? No big deal, we can handle him. And it all starts out so innocent, right? Just a little conversation. Devil says, did God really say not to eat from the trees of the garden? Oh, Eve, she thinks she can handle this guy, no problem. No, 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 you got it wrong. God said we could eat of the trees, just not the one in the middle. Or the, excuse me, I shouldn't have said that, tree in the midst of the knowledge of good and evil. And so now the devil comes back and just this one little lie, right? Eve had said, if we eat of it, we will surely die. And the devil says, no, you will not die. And Eve thinks, right, that she can beat him. But all it took, he gets that one little bit shred of doubt in their minds, and he has them. And you know what happens there. That one little shred of doubt leads to the entire world falling into the utter state that it is now. The point simply is, we, like Adam and Eve, like King Saul, we have this mentality that we're stronger than the devil. We have this mentality that, well, I can mess around with this or that, and I'm going to be okay. He can't hurt me. We make too little of him. Now, I put in that insert a little quote from Martin Luther. It's great. Martin Luther describes the devil as a barking dog, a chained-up barking dog, and he's barking ferociously. And any one of us, if we saw him, we'd be scared to death. Now, he says, you'll be fine. Just don't go up and try to pet him. You know, I'm paraphrasing his words a little bit. But this is the thing we have to realize about the devil. You'll be okay if you stay away from him, but don't go up and try to pet him. Or another time, Luther uses the idea of shark-infested waters, you know. Don't put your hands down in the water. You're going to get bit. And some of the biggest examples where you and I do this, I want to give you some of these so you know what I'm talking about. One of the biggest is lies. When I was in grade school, I don't know if any of you saw a video like this, but they showed to us the video about the little white lie. You know, it started out this little thing, and then it grew and grew and grew and grew until it was this big problem. Well, everybody knows this, but what we may not think about is that's the devil working. Right? He is the father of lies, Jesus says. So any little lie comes from him. So we mess around. We think, well, I can disguise the truth a little bit right here. It's not going to hurt anybody. I can handle the devil. But we can't. Lies, they destroy. Because the devil takes those lies and works in our hearts and they become bigger problems. Or anger. We think anger is no big deal. And all of us have these little things that we're harboring, little bits of anger, and we say, well, I can handle that. It's not a big deal. It's not going to hurt me. That little bit of anger opens the door for him. And he gets in and causes problems, as he did for Adam and Eve, for King Saul. Another classic example, if you want to think of bigger examples, one of them is gambling. How many people have thought, oh, I can handle it. It's no big deal. I'll just bet a little money here. It's just for fun, right? It's all in good fun. And later what? They've lost life savings. They've destroyed their families. Pornography is another one that's becoming more and more in our day where we think, oh, it's not going to hurt. It's just a little bit, right? Or even the stuff we watch in movies today or read in books. This is all harmful. And then one of the last ones I want to mention, you understand, it's not just the negative things, but it's also when we think we can stay away from the good things. Like, well, it's not going to hurt me to skip church. It's not going to hurt if I don't go to church for a couple weeks or a month. It's not going to hurt if I'm not doing my devotions, if I'm not in prayer. Well, yes, it will. That's opening the door for the devil, and that's all he needs. The point is, he is stronger than you and I. We can't beat him. But what do we do then? All you have to do is remember, he's already beaten. You do not have to beat him. Jesus already has. Yeah, we don't want to make too little of him, but now turn that around and say, you know what? I'm not going to make too much of him either because he can't hurt me. Right away, you heard it in Genesis 3, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, they fell into sin. Right away, God gave the promise. He said, this is talking to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head. and you shall bruise his heel. Right away, God told you and I, you do not have to worry about the devil because God will beat him. And that's, of course, our Savior Jesus Christ in the gospel reading today. Jesus faced all the temptations that you and I face. You know, the devil comes to him and says, turn these stones into bread. Jesus is dying of hunger. Jesus said, no, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil tempts him with power, with glory, and Jesus will not give him an open door. He's the one that defeats him for us. Now, Luther uses that illustration that the devil is a barking dog. Well, he's a chained up barking dog. Or Peter uses the illustration, he's a prowling, roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Yes, but he's kind of like the lions in Daniel's den, right? He can't hurt you and I because Christ has taken his power away, right? We don't give him an inch. When the devil comes to you and I like he came to King Saul, like he came to Adam and Eve, and he wants to have a conversation with you, you end it right there. You go to God's word. God's word drives the devil away. If King Saul had just used God's word, the devil wouldn't have had an inch. God's word drives the devil away. That's what Jesus did, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we use God's word, and we don't give the devil an inch. We don't give him an open door. We drive him away. Prayer drives him away. Right? These are the weapons God gives us, that when the devil comes to us and, you know, wants us to look at this or do that, we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Singing the hymns, the songs that you've known from when you were a child. Jesus loves me, this I know. All of these are weapons that we have that keeps the devil away because he's already beaten. And he cannot stand in the presence of God and survive. What will we do, right? Like Saul, like Adam and Eve, make too little of him, think we can handle him? No. We will stand with Jesus. We will see that he is a great enemy, but that he's a defeated enemy, and we'll drive him away with God's word and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.